Welcome to the Lavo Show podcast. Conversations with outstanding human beings whose love has been inspired and transformed by Osho. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Ma Amrit Roshani. Roshani took sannyas in 1984 while she was a professor of political science at Western Oregon University. Roshani is an author, writer, editor, and occasional Osho meditation facilitator. I'm so happy to have Roshani on the show and I hope you enjoy it. Roshani, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm absolutely fine, and I want to start off by thanking you very much for doing these podcasts to sort of connect the older sannyasins with the newer sannyasins. I think it's wonderful.
Oh, thank you. It's my absolute pleasure, and I'm loving doing it. Okay, Roshani, so to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
Well, first I have to tell you, I was amazed to find that Osho was in Central Oregon, very close to where I live. My husband was something of an expert in India, and he and his friend had gotten involved in the mediation between Rajneeshpuram and the local ranchers. And we first, my husband and I first visited the ranch in the spring of 1982. And it's so humorous to me, the way Osho gathers his sannyasins. In my case, I was captured by the idea of studying the creation of a new city, which is just very academic. But I came to the ranch, and in that very first visit, I had the feeling that I had reconnected really with family from the past. The feeling was, oh my gosh, there are people on the planet who are like me, who are interested in integrating spirituality with everyday life, who are interested in taking care of the environment, who are interested in going deeper into who we are. So that's how I first came to the ranch, was as a political scientist with my husband, who is also a political scientist.
Okay, amazing. You came to Osho with an academic background, and because you wanted to study how to build a new city, and then you got involved in a much deeper way. So what happened that took you to this higher level of connection with Osho?
Well, the first book I read was I Am the Gate, and somehow that and the experience of visiting the ranch simply opened my heart in a way that it hadn't been opened before. And I immediately felt that I was a sannyasin, even in 1982. But I waited for 2 years to actually become a sannyasin, to take sannyas. Things were controversial in Oregon, and I was sort of bridging the world of Oregon and the world of the ranch. And one festival, a festival in 1984, I think it was the second annual World Festival, in morning satsang, all of a sudden I literally fell into a deep well of meditation. I don't know exactly how to explain that, except it was at the end of satsang and everybody was dancing wildly and I was sitting just going deeper, deeper, deeper. And it was the most amazing experience for me. And I felt, I just have to have more of this. I know this is my path. So I went to the Meditation University, and they signed me up for the third week of a course, which was all silent meditation with Tirtha, And at the end of that course, I just knew I had to take sannyas. So I applied, but a year or so before, in meeting at the ranch, Sheila had said, we were not going to allow Carrie to become a sannyasin because we will lose Ted. And so I said, you better check with Sheila. And Sheila said, yes, it's fine for me to take sannyas, but Ted has to choose the time, when. So he came to the ranch that next weekend, and he said, of course, 2050 or something ridiculous. But I took sannyas that weekend on Tirtha's tea break down in the Meditation University, and I actually got my name on the inside of a bread wrapper. Tirtha took my name over the telephone. So that was a little bit different.
Okay, so you have this academic background, and then at the same time, you open your heart to Osho and something deeper happened. And then you became a sort of historian, particularly about the period Osho spent in Oregon, which is notoriously a very controversial time. And in fact, you even wrote 3 books about that period. So, we heard a lot about those days, and we also have this famous docu-series on Netflix, Wild Wild Country. And most of the news we find available online are mainly negative, or at least focused on the sensationalistic parts. So what are, in your views, the biggest misunderstandings about Osho and Rajneeshpuram, and what's missing in this whole debate?
How I became sort of a default historian of the ranch was that I connected with Swami Pranaren, who was Osho's attorney and also attorney for the ranch. And he had just mentioned at one point that it would be helpful for him to have a chronology of the court cases and developments on the ranch. And so I began a chronology which, over the years, reached 600 pages of how the ranch developed, what the attacks were on the ranch from the outside, how the court cases went, and so on. So there's that level of historical coverage of the ranch. But when I'm on panels or when I'm asked to be a guest speaker, the thing that I like to talk about most is, as you mentioned, what's really missing from the Wild Wild Country episodes and from most things that are written. And that is how incredibly transformative the ranch was for individual people. And I think this is where the story of my son comes in. My son was born deaf and autistic. And at the time of the ranch, he was about 18 or 19. And he had been attending the Oregon School for the Deaf most of his life. One of his dorm counselors was a sannyasin. And I had been trying to find work and residential placement for my son so he could live a sort of independent life. But there was really nothing at that time in Oregon. So I asked Tantra, who was his dorm counselor, if she would like to go on the program that was open to people coming to the ranch and working for a while and paying a bit each month to stay there. And would she be willing to go and take my son? Because he doesn't communicate very much. And what he does communicate is mostly in sign language. And she was very excited about that. So it was quite an experiment for me and for my son, a little bit scary. So we tried a week to see how it goes, and it went fine. And after a week, he wanted to stay. And after a few weeks, it was like this became his place in the world. Rajneeshpuram became his place in the world. And I remember one very touching moment when I was walking with my son, whose name then was Mark, and a woman screeched by on a bicycle and stopped, and she said, you're Mark's biological mom, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. She said, I just want to tell you what a role model Mark is for me. Now, I never, ever thought of my son as a role model, but she said, when he is happy, he laughs from his belly. When he is sad, he cries. When he's upset, he yells. And she said, I need to know more of that natural emotional expression. And that really touched my heart that Mark could be a role model. Anyway, after a few months, I visited quite frequently, and he asked by signs that he sort of made up. He said, I want my mala. And so we went to the multiversity and asked, and they said, well, has he been doing meditations? He was working at Magdalena at the time, which was the big cafeteria. Anyway, I said, no, I don't think so. So we set up a system, she said, for a week. If he goes to dynamic and goes to Kundalini and has the leader mark on the card that he's been there, then he can have sannyas at the end of the week. Well, I've never known him up to that point to be consistently behaving in that kind of way. But he went every morning to dynamic, every afternoon to Kundalini, got his check marks on his card. And so the following Saturday night, we went to Buddha Hall, where all the people were gathered for a video, and sannyas was being given afterwards. And it was time for him to be called up. And he always wore a red jacket and a red baseball cap. So he walks up to Tirtha, who was then giving sannyas. He took off his baseball cap, shoved his head in Tirtha's lap, got his mala. I signed his new name. And then, amazingly to me, he stood up. He faced the audience, and he just looked at everybody and clapped. And the whole auditorium burst into clapping. And you can imagine I was in tears by that time. So then we go back to our place and we sit down, and he turns to me and he signs, now bathroom and pizza. So my boy became Swami Prem Tarun, which means fresh love. And the ranch really was an experience of love for him, very fresh. He was not really loved by anybody in the world, but he was really looked after and loved on the ranch. And when he came out of the ranch, he was so much more confident. He had been able to ride the buses, for example, on the ranch. I had no fear that he would get lost. And he had a lot of independence. It was a complete 180-degree turn for him, the ranch experience. That's what's missing, is how many people's lives were totally transformed.
Yeah, that's a beautiful story and a beautiful example of, as you say, how Osho helped people transform their life for the better. So as we are talking about your son, how is he doing today? Is he still riding the wave of this love from the time with Osho and the sannyasins?
You know, he has been really amazing. Came out of the ranch, he put his mala up on a nail in his bedroom, and he only wore it after that when we went to sannyasin events. He still looks at pictures from the ranch, which he took, to remind him. But mostly it's that he has embodied the confidence. He has worked at the same sheltered workshop now for about 35 years. He goes to work every workday. He lives semi-independently in a group home with three or four other guys. He's much more in his body and much more interested in being in the world. So I'd say yes, he has carried all of that forward, and just his being has been transformed.
That's beautiful to hear, and an amazing example and a beautiful story. So one question I wanted to ask you was, what would it take to set the record straight and shift the focus of the conversation from the Rolls Royce to what really matters? And I guess you already answer telling us this beautiful story. And perhaps, you know, do you think there is any chance to render justice to Osho's work and really get people open their eyes about Osho's contribution to the development of human consciousness?
I think a few things. One, I know that Naren is working on a book to clear Osho's name in a legal sense, and the chronology has been helpful to him in doing that. He's been working on that for many years. The second thing is, if sannyasins themselves can bring Osho into their everyday lives, their work lives, their workplaces, or create workshops to share their understanding of Osho and of meditation. I know I worked with Maprem Karuna, who had been the mayor of Antelope, or the city of Rajneesh. And after the ranch, we had a big conference for educators in Pune, where we talked about how to really bring Osho's sense of education for the 21st century into the world. And later she and I taught a course at Western Oregon University based on Osho's view of 21st century education. We also ran some summer institutes where we invited people to come and experience Osho's meditations and some of the work that healers and teachers who are sannyasins do. I worked in the 2000s for 6 or 7 years with Maprem Sunshine, who had been a spokesperson on the ranch, and she set up something called the Hawaii Wellness Institute, and I served as executive director for quite a few years. And we, again, taught classes, had workshops on meditation. She developed a peer-to-peer counseling method that has spread since. I know that other sannyasins have written books to try to convey Osho's work and Osho's vision, especially as it pertains to their lives in the world. I really think all of those efforts are really important, and I support all of those efforts.
Yeah, that's beautiful, and it's a great reminder that we as sannyasins today, we do play a role in it, and we have our responsibility for ourselves, first of all, to be more conscious human being, and as a consequence, as Osho sannyasins, we will clearly give an example of what Osho was trying to do. So we mentioned Wild Country, and we talked extensively about this famous Netflix docuseries, and I know that you wrote an article for Osho News, which I will link to the show notes of this episode. So I don't want to add more of the same. There are rumors that a new Netflix documentary is on the way. So if you were to write the script for this new docuseries, what would you like to include and how would you construct the narrative?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I think I would like to see a documentary that was about sannyasins who lived at the ranch and where they are today and what they've done with their lives. I honestly feel that Osho, when he left the planet and he said he would beats out in his people. That is my feeling, that's very, very, very true. And if the world could see manifest in the lives of people who had been on the ranch, all the amazing things that they've done and how they are, what their beings are like, then it would really change people's minds about that whole experiment.
I personally, through this podcast, aim to play my small part in trying to record the story of the sannyasins who are with Osho, trying to show that how you're living your life nowadays, what you've learned from Osho and how you are today. And it's very inspirational. You know, every time I speak with you, I'm in awe. There are, you know, so many wonderful stories. And just looking at you, how you are aging and how you're living life now compared to the average person is completely different. So, you know,
And it's a complete surprise to me, too. I have to say, in my 60s, I became involved in a theater doing a play called Aging is Not for Sissies, which was very humorous, with at least one other sannyasin woman was in the play. And it played all over Honolulu, Hawaii, and we did some performances on the mainland. And I had really not ever done theater before. And then also about 5 years ago, I received as a birthday gift a workshop on watercolor painting. And now it's about 70 paintings later, I've found a new sort of form of meditation in the form of art. So, and that's very new to me. I always thought in my head that I was such a left brain person, I didn't even know I had a right brain. And all this creativity has begun to flow. So life continues to be a surprise.
Yes, and that's great that you dedicated so many years to the more intellectual part of the brain, and now you have finally time to give space to the other part that probably felt a little bit neglected.
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
Okay, going back to your academic experience as a historian, are your books still available today if anyone is interested in having a look at those chronological facts that you put together?
Well, the big chronology, mostly I've sent to other people who are authoring books, and it's not actually been published, but Niten in Denmark, who is creating this massive bibliography of sannyasin works, has a copy. And I'm about to share one also with the wiki people who are putting Sanyas Wiki together. The other quote-unquote book is really a pamphlet that I wrote with my husband during the ranch days. It's called Rajneeshpuram and the Abuse of Power. And actually it talks about how the state of Oregon has abused its power in trying to block ranch development. That pamphlet is out of print. We mainly created it to distribute to all the legislators in the Oregon legislature while the ranch was still going. And then the other two things I've written are actually not books, but they're articles. One is called Better Dead Than Red, and it's in a collection published by the Sociology of Religion people. And it's about all of the letters to the editor written during the ranch period. And it shows the progression of a wave of really increased hate and animosity towards the ranch. The last article I did fairly recently, not too many years ago, again for the Sociology of Religion people, it's in a collection. It's called Sex and Gender in the Words and Comments of Osho. And it talks about what Osho had to say about sexuality, about gender, particularly about the role of women. And also it has some results of interviews I did with sannyasins about their sexuality. And those two articles are available. And if anybody's interested, they can email me at shayr@wou.edu, and I'll give you a citation.
Oh, that's great. I'd love to have that and read them, because I think, of course, to be with Osho is a matter of love affair and meditation. It's nothing to do with the intellectual part of the mind. But at the same time, I think it's absolutely important that those historical facts are put together, and also that people can read testimonies of sannyasins. So your work is absolutely incredibly valuable. I personally would love to read those articles, and I will also share your email address in the show notes. So anyone listening who want to read those articles, they can get in touch with you.
Sure. Perfect.
Okay. So you mentioned that you are now kind of giving space to your creative parts, and many new dimensions are opening. So what are your latest projects? What are you working on, and how do you spend your time?
Well, I've given up the theater, but I'm still painting. I'm fascinated by flowers and leaves. That's my painting to date, and some abstract things. I've just about finished a memoir, which I hope to publish sometime. It's mostly for parents of children with disabilities, but there are two chapters in the memoir that are about Rajneeshpuram and its effect on me and my son and our relationship. I occasionally write pieces for Osho News and Osho Viha. I have edited several books by sannyasins, and I'm open to helping sannyasins tell their stories. Somehow I managed to keep quite busy emailing sannyasins around the world. It's so amazing to have this internet and this ability to connect all across the planet. But those are some of the projects that I'm doing now. Occasionally I am still in a meditation group, although I'm not in one currently. As far as my own practice, I have to say I don't do, you know, take a physical time to do Osho meditations very frequently. We've tried to start Osho meditation groups here in Portland, but they don't seem to last very long. Myself, I occasionally do Kundalini, but mostly it's Vipassana sitting. Or just, my challenge to myself in these days is to apply everything I've felt and experienced and know about meditation in my everyday life. And I know Osho used to talk about meditation being a combination of awareness and non-judgment and relaxation. And so I'm mostly trying to be as aware as possible in my daily life, and as non-judgmental as possible, and as relaxed about whatever comes my way as possible.
Wonderful. And sounds like you find a way to keep yourself very busy with beautiful activities that you enjoy. And also I discovered through this podcast that there is an beautiful and incredible network of sannyasins who are happy to support each other. There is such a connection. It's incredible. I'm so happy to be part of it. Rashani, we are heading towards the end of the interview, and I have three final questions. So the first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
Well, as I told you when we were trying to arrange this interview, I am definitely not a morning person. So I don't rise early. I rise very slowly and very carefully, and usually I have tea and toast, and check in on the internet. Meanwhile, taking some small moments just to notice my breath. And by that time, my morning is pretty much gone.
Yeah, especially if you wake up around 10, 11, then yes, half of the morning is gone.
Exactly right.
Okay, so the second question, I think you touched already upon it. Let's see if there is anything else that you want to add. The second question is, what's your favorite meditation? And you can talk about also your favorite meditation when you were in Oregon or when Osho was in the body.
Yes. I think I have two favorite meditations that are Osho meditations. One is Kundalini, and I did that for years, every afternoon. I absolutely loved the way it allowed me to shake off the day and really ease into the evening. It was a very beautiful transition meditation for me. My second favorite meditation is Nada Brahma. And it always puts me into a beautiful space that reminds me very much of the ranch, with especially the music and the bells. Now, more often than not, I just sit and watch my breath and return my attention to my breath, or try to integrate meditation into my daily life, as I've already said.
So the last question is, you lead the Osho experiment. You are one of the pioneers in this movement of creating a new man, Zorba the Buddha. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2020?
Well, I very much have the feeling that I carry Osho in my heart every day. My role, I think, in this beautiful movement and flow of sannyasins has been mostly as a supporter. So I look for ways and I invite ways to support other sannyasins in their work in the world. I'm not really going out into the world as much now at the age of 77 as I used to. And so I love the idea of younger and younger and younger generations carrying the spirit and meaning of Osho into the world. And I'm available to support people in any way I can in doing that.
Well, that's so beautiful. And you're doing exactly that by participating into this podcast and through your testimony and this interview. And I thank you so much for being part of the show. I really loved connecting with you. It's been wonderful. So thank you so much. That's the end. And I send you lots of love.
Thank you, Swaram. It's just been very sweet for me to talk about Osho in my life. I don't get the opportunity very often. So thank you very, very much.
It's my absolute pleasure. And I can feel the sweetness through your voice. Okay, Roshani, thank you. Lots of love. Oh. Big hug.
Okay, Swaram, thank you.
And bye now.
Thank you for listening to the Love Osho podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. Visit loveosho.com for new episodes, blogs,
and much more.